Okay, Rabbi Isai, we will begin Be'ezras Hashem, page 270 in the English, in my Lev Tov edition. It's page Resh Tes Zayin. Okay, I'm obviously now everyone is muted, so if there is a problem with the hearing, I'm not going to hear, but I will go to sit next to the computer. So if there is a serious problem with the hearing, please email me. So don't know if I'll have a solution, but at least I'll know. Okay. We ended before Yom Tov with the Chavis Halvavis' discussion, where he began with the simple assertion that everything we do divides into things that you must do. Hey, no, I'm sorry. I see that near the computer. I'm right in front of a construction site outside my window. So I'm going to go back to the other room and we'll take our chances. Okay. So the Chavis Halvavitz told us last time that everything we do breaks into three categories, right? All actions. We have the things that we must do, the things that we're not allowed to do, and then what he called the reshus, the things that you may do, you can not do that. Simple enough. But then he went on to start analyzing the realm of reshus, the things that we call parva activities. And he basically told us that these two, this area also, if you overdo the reshus areas, you will usually run into problematic realms. Or, more specifically, if you overdo your physical and material activities, you start doing things excessively, you'll probably run into problematic realms. When a person is too involved in material affairs, when a person is too involved in physical pleasures, that will lead a person to problems. He also told us that tending to material affairs inadequately is wrong. A person should see to it that he is eating properly, sleeping properly, well cared for, earning a proper living, living in decent conditions, etc., in order to live comfortably and to function comfortably. Except, he said, there's the subject of precious where there can be, when it's done right, a justification for sometimes underdoing our physical or material needs. But again, as the rule, we shouldn't be underdoing or overdoing it. Now, the next step to that is that if we understand that underdoing it is wrong, that means that Hashem does expect us to be caring for ourselves adequately. Which means, if Hashem wants you to be eating a good, healthy breakfast, or we'll stop from the negative. If Hashem doesn't want you to be under-eating, that means that Hashem wants you to eat a good, healthy breakfast and a good, healthy lunch. If that's the case, then that good, healthy breakfast turns into a mitzvah. And the good, healthy lunch turns into a mitzvah. Once we understand that Hashem doesn't want you underdoing your material needs and your physical needs, that means that taking care of those physical and material needs is what Hashem wants. If that is what Hashem wants, then that suddenly becomes a mitzvah. So basically, what we're up to now is the Chavis Halvavis really leading into his big point, which is basically going to be that there isn't really such a thing as an area of reshus. Even what we review, what we relate to as just the general parava areas of our lives, can either be mitzvahs or they can be averis. Now let's see. Let's let the Chavis Halvavis break that down, and we're going to learn some very fundamental attitudes here. So we begin. Now, if you don't have a sefer, if you've been with us for a while, I think you already know that you'll be fine. But we'll start inside, and if you have a sefer, follow along. So based on what we've been discussing, we see that shekol maaseh ha'adam enam yotzim mitzivui v'azhara v'dei hasipuk. Now, that everything that we do is once again either a mitzvah, an avera, or adequately caring for our material needs. Meaning he already told us that underdoing it is wrong, or it's a mitzvah if it's done for very particular purposes. Overdoing it is also wrong. So the areas of reshus that we may have related to as reshus, but now we understand it's really overdoing our physical involvement, we've knocked that out of the parva area. That's wrong. That shouldn't be done. So he continues and says, I'm going to, skipping a couple of lines, Kasher nachkar al de'asipuk la'agim min ha'olam el ha'mozen. He says, this realm of just adequately caring for your material needs, taking care of yourself, in order to be able to live and function comfortably, normally, nimtza'enu mitzuveh boy, we'll actually find that it's a mitzvah. Kemoy sha'omar bereishis ha'yetzira. Like the pasuk says, back when Hashem created the world, yesterday's parasha. Vayevarech oisam elokim, Hashem, listen to the interesting understanding of the Chovetz Chavos, of this pasuk. Hashem blessed them. Who did he bless? He blessed Adam and Chava. And he told them, Vayem elokim, Hashem told them, Pru urvu, multiply, become many, umil'u es ha'aretz v'kivshua. And fill the land and conquer it, meaning bring it under your domain. What does that mean? It means settle it. We're not talking conquer in the simple terms. What we mean is if you walk down the street today and you see a paved street rather than dirt, if you see houses rather than forest, so you are seeing an area that was taken over by men. Right? And this actually was Hashem's intent. Hashem wants us to settle earth and make it into a place livable for man, where man can function. Va'omar achalken. I want to add, there's actually an important point there. When you walk around, nature is something very inspiring. You walk around in Hashem's world. You see the trees, you see the grass, you see the flowers, you see the ocean, you see the different aspects of nature that are exactly in the state that Hashem created them. And you're taking a tour of Hashem's world. And it can be very inspiring and a very great means of connecting to Hashem. Now, many of us can connect with that. And that's a very, very important area of Avodah, to be able to connect to Hashem through nature. Now, what happens when you're walking through an urban area? You're walking through an area that's paved. You're walking through an area that's built up. Sometimes a person might feel like, here is where human hands interfered, and here we've lost the beauty of nature, we've lost the profundity of nature. Let's understand that it's not exactly so. I'll just give you an example, which I want to take a step further. Avigdor Miller always used to talk about, you know, looking at the wonders of Hashem in the world around you. Looking at the trees, looking at the flowers. You walk down a New York street, a gray urban street, right? He would encourage people to look at the wonders of a dandelion, a weed growing up through the sidewalk, a dandelion. So somebody once asked him, men are encouraged not to be looking around too much as they walk through the street. And they'll also be encouraged to keep their eyes lowered, keep their eyes lowered on the ground. If so, they're not looking at trees, they're not looking at clouds. What are they looking at? They're looking at the pavement. What should a person think when he's looking at the pavement? So Rabbi Miller responded, he said, you're looking at the pavement? That's also something to thank Hashem for. Think about the pavement. Think about how wonderful it is to walk down a paved street rather than a dirt road. And thank Hashem for that. Now I want to take that a step further and elaborate on that a little bit. When you walk down an area that was settled by man, what you're actually seeing is you aren't seeing something that's a conflict with nature. It doesn't have the natural appeal of pure nature. But what you're seeing is the greatness of man that Hashem created. In other words, yes, The Maharal talks about this. Hashem created a world that was perfect as is before you bring man into the picture. But man is expected to take the world and adapt it to himself. And Hashem gave man, so you'll ask, the Maharal says, you'll ask, what does that mean? Does that mean that man is improving on the world that Hashem made? So you may have heard, we've talked about this in other shiurim, but the Maharal says that no, actually not. It's not improving on it because that's all built into man. Man is a very, very great creation. And yes, when Hashem created man, Hashem was actually building into man the next steps of the world's enhancement. By man going and making his discoveries, by man going and building up the world, making it adaptable to man's life, by man going and making advances in technology, in medicine, in figuring out how to take the natural resources to their next levels. This all is actually Hashem brought the Bria to a state of, I don't know, wherever you'll place it, let's say 70%, and built all the rest of it into man. When man then goes and continues to develop, you're seeing the da'as, the wisdom, the ability, the intelligence that Hashem put into man, which is bringing Hashem's Bria to its further enhanced state. Now, certainly man can overdo it. Certainly man can start destroying nature to an extent that's counterproductive. Certainly man can take technology to harmful places. But we do have to understand that man building up the world in a way that enables man to do his function is not ruining nature. It's bringing nature to its ultimate state. Yes, we all glorify nature, but we also understand that we couldn't really just live out nature in a long-term kind of way. But Victor Miller used to make fun. He said that some author, explorer or something, he would always complain about, you know, urban life. We complain about, you know, the cities, etc. And he decided he was going to go live, I don't know, somewhere in some natural zone in Africa or whatever, Sudan or something. So this guy came back reporting that, yeah, it's true, you don't have all of the pollution. It's enough that you have the camel's droppings in the street to make the streets of New York smell very sweet. So let's not look down on man's accomplishments. We do have to put them into the correct perspective. And we also have to understand that really the purpose of this all, the purpose of man's accomplishments, are ultimately for the purpose of his spiritual accomplishments. That's really where man is meant to enhance the world. The world is all there as a platform for man to become the great being that he's meant to be. And that's a big discussion, which is actually not our subject right now, but what is our subject is the understanding that you can also be amazed by the wonders of Hashem's world by walking down an urban street, by looking at the buildings and seeing the ability that Hashem put into man to be able to develop for himself such areas that can serve him so well, you are further seeing the wonders of Hashem's world. And don't let that block you. Now, yes, it doesn't conflict with the fact that you have to know where to draw the limits, and man can overdo it, just like everything else. Just like everything else. And this is represented in such isurim as kilayim, right? There's a prohibition to mix certain types of plants together. These prohibitions are representative of the concept that, to an extent, Hashem wants you to develop the world further. But on the other hand, there's the extent to which don't completely undo Hashem's world. Where exactly do you draw the line? Okay, that's tricky, but you know, many of us can point to different areas where man overdid it, went a little bit too far, and certainly in the realm of technology and other areas where man goes a little too far in turning it into a human world rather than a world of Hashem's nature. But on the other hand, we shouldn't go in the other direction either and say that, make the mistake of saying that anything that's man-made is a conflict with the beauty of nature, because the truth is that we can only say that as long as we have the luxury of enjoying the man-made product and we venture into nature, you know, for short visits at a time, and we say, oh boy, halavai that it was always like this. No, you need functioning industries. We need built up urban areas. We need them for man to function properly. And the Chavis of Avos is telling us that that is actually all included in the words, Pru'uvu u'mekivshua, multiply, become many, and fill the world and conquer it. Conquer it means bring it under man's domain. Take the world and set it up as a place for man to be able to thrive, to flourish, and to be able to perform, to do his things properly. So if so, Vamachalkin. Okay, and then the Chavis of Avos tells us that Hashem goes on and says in that pasuk, "Kinei nosati lachem is kol esev zirei azera asher al pnei kol ha'aretz." After he says, "I want you to conquer the world. I want you to fill the world and conquer the world," he says, "and I am providing you with all of the different plant life that's around the world for you to eat." In other words, Hashem is interested in man settling the world and in man utilizing the natural resources for his good, for his benefit, for his material existence. And if so, this all comes under the category of mitzvah. So, Im Kain, the Chavis of Avos goes on and says, De hasipuk b'mazon, sustaining yourself adequately is not any more in the realm of parva, in the realm of something that you can or cannot choose to do, but rather, it's nichnas b'shar hatzivui. It actually moves into the realm of mitzvah. So let's understand this. He's making a very profound point. When a person is doing whatever it takes to enable himself to learn to live healthily and in a way that enables him to function comfortably, he is involved in a mitzvah. When a person is eating a nutritious breakfast, he's involved in a mitzvah. When a person, and to take it to a broader level, when a person is engaged in some job that's contributing to the general functioning of the world, right? Everybody with their professions, from the plumber to the electrician to the doctor to the seamstress to whatever else it might be, is contributing to the very broad picture of a functioning world, and this is the world that Hashem wants. Hashem wants mankind to be setting up a functioning world. And therefore, each person with his job, with his profession, is doing a multifaceted mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah that has two sides to the coin. First of all, it's a mitzvah in the sense that it's enabling him to function personally. It's enabling him or her to earn a living in order to enable themselves to live comfortably in Hashem's world. And number two, it's contributing to a well-functioning world. So, now we see that, yeah, normal, mundane life, to the extent that it's not being overdone, to the extent that we're not being drawn toward excessive involvement in material affairs, in materialism, in physical pleasures, etc., to the extent that it's being done in order to lead a comfortable, healthy, productive life, is all included in Hashem's mitzvah. In fact, perhaps we quoted this last time, I'm not sure, that the Chazon Ish says that caring, looking out for your health, every time you go to the doctor, in order to make sure that your body is taka functioning as it should be, you're doing a mitzvah. And the way the Chazon Ish says it is, he says, caring for your health is min ha'avoydos ha'huvos lefanav yisborach, is a beloved form of service of Hashem. That's a very, such a hush of a point to note. Right? We think of areas of Avodas Hashem. You know, you have to work on your midas, and you have to work on your davening, and you know what? You have to work on caring for your health as well. That's also, the Chazon Ish says, a beloved area of Avodas Hashem. Or, the way he terms it otherwise, is cooperating with nature. Cooperating with nature. He says, what is nature? Nature. So he says, is Haratzon Ha'Yisa Masmid Shel HaBorei, who's the author of nature? It's Hashem. And nature is the way Hashem likes to operate in the most constant way. So therefore, if your body naturally needs certain things, and you cooperate with nature in order for your body to work with it. In other words, taking care of your health. You're taking, doing the exercises that you need to do. Eating in the way that you need to eat. Taking medicines when necessary in order for your body to be able to operate most optimally. These are all cooperating with Hashem's will, and these are all mitzvahs. So if so, the Chavis Havavis really reaches his point. Kevon Shehu Kein, he says, if once we understand this, he says, Kvar Hisborer, he says, we understand that, Ki Kol Maase B'nei Adam, that really, we've just knocked out. We said that there are three categories. Any act that we do can fall into one of three categories, mitzvah, avera, or parva. He says, no, we've just knocked out a category. If we understand this properly, we understand that really, any action that you do will either be a mitzvah or an avera. Because so much of the realm of parv, we've just moved into the realm of mitzvahs. And the realm of what we might have related to as parv in terms of overdoing physical pleasures, overdoing materialism or material involvement, that we've moved into the realm of avera. Now I want to stress, it's a more subtle avera, right? Let's say we're certainly not going to say that overdoing physical pleasures, let's say overeating, or overeating in an unhealthy way. So he's moved that into the realm of avera. Let's keep things in perspective. Chavis Halavus is leading us into more refined areas of Avodas Hashem. We're certainly not going to equate that with really surim. Nobody should come along and say that eating one extra ice cream cone too many, here you're already starting to compete with eating pork. No, we're talking about more refined areas. We always have to remember that. When we're learning Sfarim like the Chavis Halavus, he's trying to lead us into the higher realms of connection with Hashem. It always has to be in that perspective. But yes, he's telling us, once we're entering these higher realms, once we're moving into the more refined areas of Avodas Hashem, you should relate to overdoing physical pleasures, overdoing material involvement, as, I'd prefer to use the word wrong than avera. Okay. So now, Ubiruze. Now he goes on and explains. If you do any given act, if it's a mitzvah, so obviously it's a mitzvah. If you decide not to do it, while you could have done it, then you are deficient in your service of Hashem. Meaning anything good that you could have done, that you were in position to do, but you decided to skip it, that is to an extent an avera. You are making the wrong decision by deciding to skip it. Now this has a number of levels to it. This is also something subtle. We're really going to get to a point where we understand that all of our life, even when we don't, things that we don't necessarily identify as spirituality, is always choices that we're making in terms of service of Hashem, getting closer to Hashem or distancing ourselves from Him. It could be in more broader ways and it could be in more subtle ways. But for example, you have, let's say, a mitzvah to say that you are fully obligated to do. Okay? Let's say a person has a new home, has a chiyuv, a full-fledged obligation to put a mezuzah on the door of his home. If he does it, he did a mitzvah. If he did not do it, so he is transgressing a mitzvah, committing an avera, right? Not to do something, not to eat matzah on Leil Pesach when you're able to, not to put a mezuzah on the door of your home when you're able to, is a blatant, straightforward avera. Okay. Then it gets a little subtler than that. Let's take, for example, the mitzvah of tzitzis for a man. Okay? There is no bona fide obligation to wear a what we call tzitzis. The obligation is that if you wear a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis strings on it. So But there's no chiyuv to make sure you're wearing a four-cornered garment. If you were to take that tzitzis garment and wear it without strings, you would be doing a blatant avera. But to just simply not wear the four-cornered garment at all, that's not an avera. It's not a bona fide avera. Yet, lemaisa, the way we operate is that every Jewish male makes sure to wear the four-cornered garment. And in fact, it goes to such an extent that we're told in halacha not even to walk 4 amos without it. You get up in the morning, put it on immediately before even before going anywhere. What's the understanding? The understanding is that if there's a mitzvah that's very easy to do and you fail to do it, even though you weren't really obligated, this is not the same as deciding not to eat matzah on Pesach evening. It's not the same as deciding not to put a mezuzah on your door. If you decide not to wear the beged, the four-cornered garment with tzitzis, you haven't, technically you haven't transgressed anything. Yet, Chazal are telling us when there's a mitzvah that's easy to do and you decide not to do it, that is a failing. That's a failing. And furthermore, Chazal tell us that when the going gets tough, right, could be that technically there isn't room to punish for something like that because there was not a bona fide obligation to do it. But let's say when times are dangerous and a person needs extra merits to do well, so yeah, then those types of things are going to be taken into account. There was a mitzvah that was easy for you to do. Okay, you weren't really obligated to do it, but it was easy for you to do and you decided not to. That's a failing. That's a stain on your record. So, therefore, the Chodesh HaVavis is telling us that you're always making choices. But it goes to a subtler level also. If, as we've been discussing, let's say, for example, a healthy breakfast is a mitzvah. And here, I'm really giving myself musa. I'm giving myself musa right now. I'm admonishing myself. Eating meals regularly, nutritious meals is a mitzvah. And if you, one morning, you know, you're preoccupied or whatever it is, and you simply skip it, sometimes, you know, there's really something going on that demands urgent attention, and you skip a meal. But let's say it just becomes a habit. Like I'm talking to myself right now. But let's say it just becomes a habit, kind of like lazy, you know, you get busy, and it's just a little bit of a schlep to really put something together. And you just skip meals, you start skipping meals regularly. You have to realize that, again, taking it to an even subtler level, but that also will be considered a failing. You should take the effort to, if there's something that's important for you, important for your health, important for your body, you should be making the effort to do it. And if you fail to, without good reason, that also is considered a certain failing. And you're avoiding Hashem. And therefore, you have to understand, when you're facing some issue of your welfare, don't think that this is really not about mitzvah avera, this is not something that I have to do, whatever. I don't have kach for it, I'm just going to skip it. No, this also is an issue of mitzvah versus failing. Again, I want to use the word failing rather than avera. I don't want to make it so blatant. But this is an issue of mitzvah versus failing. Passing up an opportunity for a mitzvah when it was easily available is considered a failing. Hashem wants you to do whatever it is that will be good for you, that's important for your welfare. So now, we move on. V'chein mi she'oise dova min ha'azhorois hu choyte. Similarly, a person... I wanna add a point here. It says that when Hillel Hazoken would go to bathe, he would say that he is going to do a mitzvah. Bathing, you know, it's important for a person's health. And when he went to bathe, one time he was going to bathe, somebody asked him where he was going, he said, I'm going to take care of some chesed. He was going to take care of chesed. He was just going to take a bath himself. He was going to bathe himself. So they said, what chesed are you doing? So he said, it says, goimel nafsha each chesed. A person who cares for himself is a man of chesed. Now, certainly, we can just, you know, run with that and say, oh, great, that means that I put myself before everything else, turn life into one self-centered business, and I'm going to be considered a Baal Chesed. Now, let's understand it in its more refined sense. What he's actually saying is, sometimes a person might feel like, oh, I don't have kach to do this right now. He knows that it's really good for him. Obviously, when you are facing a delicious meal and you simply dig in, no one's going to give you major credit for that, right? But you're not going to say, oh, wow, look at the wonderful madrigas of chesed this person has reached. But let's say, for example, at a time when you actually would rather not, but it's really not going to be good for you in the long term. You actually would rather not right now. You don't have the koyach right now. You're not in the mood right now, but this is really something that's going to be better for you in the long term. So say by doing it now when you're not in the mood, but ultimately, in 2 weeks from now, you know, you're going to be benefiting from this, or in general, your general well-being will benefit from this. So that is actually considered a form of chesed. Yeah, caring for yourself when you're not in the mood, but ultimately you yourself will be the one benefiting from it. Or when you feel like you don't have time, whatever it is, you're a little too lazy, you'd rather just skip it. That, too, is to be considered a form of chesed. Now, it doesn't have to be when you're not in the mood. If you sit down with that consciousness, now, I said before, if you're sitting in front of a delicious, tantalizing dish and you dig in, no one's going to give you credit. That's not necessarily so either. Here also it depends. If you're going to sit down and think to yourself for one minute, here's a delicious meal in front of me. Am I going to dig in instinctively, or am I going to take a moment to think about the fact that I'm not just going to dig in instinctively. I am going to eat this meal with the intent of caring for myself in the way that Hashem wants me to. Caring for my welfare in the way that Hashem wants me to. So you will enjoy that delicious meal, and you actually weren't tempted to skip it at all. On the contrary, you were tempted to get to it as quickly as possible. But now you are inserting into that meal this awareness, this consciousness, and you are enhancing it to the level of a true mitzvah, even though you had no temptation at all to skip it. This is a very, very important point that has a lot of relevance to so many areas of our life. Let's not just do them instinctively. Let's appreciate the mitzvah in them and approach it that way, and we will be turning so many areas of life into real mitzvahs. A person goes to sleep at the end of the day. Does he just plop into bed because he's exhausted and it's the natural thing to do? Or does he think to himself, one minute, I'm exhausted now. Maybe now is the time to find some novel that can keep me up till 4 in the morning. And I'll be a wreck tomorrow. Or perhaps I should go to bed. That's what you're inclined to do that anyways. But you think about it for a minute. Why is it the right thing for me to go to bed now? Because Hashem wants me to have a productive day tomorrow. Because Hashem wants me to be healthy and feeling well. And therefore, I'm going to go to sleep. You were going to do it anyways. But now you're doing it as a form of growth, as a form of service to Hashem. In fact, the verse says, we know that in Judaism, night precedes the day, right? In general, in the general world, you approach it that it is the night, it is the day, and it's followed by night. Whereas in Judaism, it's night, which is then followed by day. There's a lot of profundity to that, but Rav Hirsch just makes one point, which is a very, very profound point. He says the natural approach might be that after a day of hard work, you've earned yourself a good night's sleep. The night follows the day. You work hard throughout the day, you earn yourself a good night's sleep, you plop into bed, and that's it. That's the end of the day, right? You wore yourself out, you plopped into bed. He said, by Judaism, it's the other way around. I have a purpose in going to sleep. It's not just, okay, now I'm tired, I've earned myself a good sleep, I'm going to drop into bed. No, I'm going to sleep in order to begin a productive day tomorrow. The sleep is the means. The sleep is not that, hey, I've earned myself a good sleep, and that's that. I'm going to sleep with the intent of, I'd really like to continue achieving. I'd really like to continue growing. In order to do that, I'm going to have to take a break now and take a 7-hour nap. I'm going to have to go to sleep now for the night. So you know what? That sleeping is now a part of that progress. It's a part of that growth system. That Navi actually expresses it this way, in a little bit of a different sense, but it says it's like a baker who needs to heat his... The Navi actually says this about Rishayim, that for a Rasha, for a person who lives the wrong way, his sleep is also considered an Avera. Why? Because it's fueling his negative activities for the next day. And the Navi says it's like a baker who wants to bake, but the oven needs to be heated to the right degree before he can actually do his baking. So the way the bakers operate is, they would heat their big earthen ovens. They would make the fire in the oven early in the evening before. You wake up in the morning, you want to start baking at 4 in the morning in order to have bread to sell in the morning. You can't start making the fire then. You make the fire in the oven at 7 in the evening. And you let the fire burn in the oven the whole night. And then when you get up at 4 in the morning to bake, the oven is good and hot, and it's ready to bake the bread well. So the oven wasn't baking bread at all the whole night. But yet, that's all a part of the baker's profession. So in the same way, the Navi talks about this in the negative sense. That a Rasha goes to sleep at night, it's like a baker preparing an oven for his baking the next day. We call that all a part of the baker's job. But Chazal tells us that Meruba Mida Teiva, what applies in the negative, applies all the more so in the positive. If you're going to sleep in order to have a day of productivity, in order to have a healthy day of functioning, then that's all a part of that growth process. It's all a part of your program of Avodas Hashem. So this is the Chavis Alvavis' point. We've moved so many of the things that we may have viewed as parav into the realm of service of Hashem. We'll continue. This is really a subject that's going to require more elaboration. Let's continue in the Chavis Alvavis now, and then we will elaborate with Hashem as we go along. Also, a person does an act that's prohibited. So he's done an Avera. Now here is another profound point in the opposite direction. We've said before that when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, you do it, you did a mitzvah. You don't do it, it's not just parav, it's not just avoid. You have chalked up a failing on your record by neglecting to do a mitzvah when you had the opportunity to do it. So now he says it in the other direction also. This is another profound point to understand. I'm not going to be able to elaborate on it now, but it deserves elaboration. When a person is facing an Avera, you do the Avera, obviously, you have an Avera on your record. You don't do the Avera. You decide, no, I shouldn't do this. So is that just, okay, Baruch Hashem, the Avera didn't happen? No, you have to realize that you have now chalked up a success. You have now earned yourself an achievement. Anytime you're facing an Avera and you decide not to do it because you know that Hashem doesn't want you to, you have earned yourself a positive achievement. It's not just that the Avera didn't happen. By making the choice to skip it, you have instead chalked up a mitzvah. So he says, yeah, not doing an Avera because you know that Hashem doesn't want you to, because of your awareness of Hashem, that is a mitzvah. Makes you into more of a tzaddik. Like the Pasuk says, by not doing wrong, they've gone in Hashem's way. Meaning, we have to realize that negative efforts are also accomplishments. Refraining from doing something that you may be inclined, tempted to do, it's not merely an issue of avoiding the failure, of avoiding the pitfall, but it's a positive accomplishment. This, too, is something that really should be elaborated on because this is a very, very, very big point with a lot of profundity in our lives. But we'll stop here for this week. Mamish in mid-sentence, in a few mid-sentences, and Bezos Hashem will continue. So we'll unmute now, and we'll part Bezos Hashem.